The Water for Food Conference being held in Lincoln again this year. We're going to talk with one of the panel participants, Brandon Honeycutt from Giltner, Nebraska. Brandon is a farmer at Giltner, and you're going to be on a panel discussion with some other farmers from around the U.S. and around the world talking about agricultural production and water. And, of course, that's big on your farm, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, this panel discussion should be really interesting to see what's going on, you know, Nebraska versus Iowa versus India versus Argentina. And, yeah, water is very important on our farm because we know without it, our yields wouldn't be where they are. You know, we'd have a lot more challenges, especially on years like this. It looks like it tends to be dry, and we're going to need the supplemental irrigation to make a nice crop.
The focus here is on producing more food with less water. So you feel like you're doing that on your place?
I think we are. We've really made a change in philosophy over the last few years, more on the technology side of, okay, how can we monitor what's going on in the surface so we can make sure that we're using the water to the best of the abilities we have. And we know we've cut down our production or our usage of water per acre in the last 5-6 years. Significantly, just based on some of those technologies.
And producing more at the same time.
Yeah, either producing more or maintaining yields, hopefully from year to year. But, you know, just going back in the 12, 13, 14 years I've been back solidly on the farm, knowing what our yields were then to now and knowing that what was a good yield then, maybe a top-end yield, is about where our base is now.
So as a farmer, do you think about the big picture? I'm saving water, and I'm helping the world, the future here. Or are you looking at more from a, you know, containing cost standpoint?
I think it's a mixture of both. One is making sure that we contain our costs, you know, especially when energy prices in the past have gotten pretty high. You know, right now, based on our what we're using for the pumping, the cost can be relatively cheap. But also on a United States scale, a global scale, even just on the state scale of, okay, we need to make sure that we're utilizing the best of our water, because it's somewhere down the line, or the fear is that either we do it voluntarily or we'll do it on the regulatory scale, which is what none of us want. So if we can figure out how to do this now, you know, it'll save a lot of headache down the road.
So you're in central Nebraska, I guess we'd call it. So you consider yourself kind of on the edge of the aquifer, the Ogallala Aquifer? Or?
We're actually in a part of the aquifer that's got pretty good water. You know, we're just, for the most part, you know, we've got some pockets that are missing, but that's, you know, about anywhere you're going to find those pockets. I just can't find water. But we're in an area that has overall good quality water.
Let's talk specifically maybe about some of those technologies that you've used to save water. And I imagine one of the first ones is probably what conversion to center pivots that's taken place over the years.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't that long ago where we were laying out lots of pipe for gravity irrigation and spent lots of hours irrigating and converted those to pivot irrigation. And some of those pivots are now being replaced by newer pivots, which then lead to better quality sprinkler packages on those, better quality monitoring systems on the pivots, lead to the seed technologies, which as we've through the GMO process, I think that's one key, the technologies in the tractors and being able to keep the residue on the soil, to keep the soil cool, to keep moisture in, and down to the using watermark sensors and the AquaView system and John Deere water over the years, some different things that we can do to say, okay, what's going on in the soil with water, and how much water do we have in there versus what's the crop requiring now and in the next week, and how can we make sure that balance is okay so we're not overwatering.
So while you've replaced a lot of hard work with the gravity flood irrigation with pivots, you've probably intensified the management part of it a lot more than you had to worry about in the past.
Yeah, you know, it really was a whole lot easier when you're gravity irrigating and say, okay, I know about every 10 days I need to be back over this crop, versus now where it's, you're looking at it either walking out and taking a measurement, or you're looking on a computer screen and saying, okay, this is what's going on. What does this do? You know, and it's really become somewhere between a science, using science, technology, and intuition, and trying to mix those three to find the right mix to properly irrigate.
What would you like to see down the road here as far as technology that would make you even more efficient in that area or I guess more time effective?
Yeah, I think there'd be a couple different things as the seed technologies move on and we get right now, you know, they're calling drought tolerant corn, but if we can find corns that have a better water use ratio, that we know that okay, we can put this on here on these soils and we can irrigate X to get a certain yield. And as the water technologies become more efficient and more automated, to say okay, you're going to tell the pivot, I need turned on here, I need this much water at this much time, where everything becomes automated to where the soil is telling, the soil and the plant are working together to tell the pivot, okay, I need water now, so tonight turn on, turn off, water this area at a higher rate. And we've worked on some of this variable rate irrigation stuff, but I think as we can get to an automated point, it'll make things better because we can more easily prescribe a field like we do with fertilizer and seed and some other aspects already.